This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3, as we look this morning at the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3, before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Leviticus chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. If his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers an animal from the herd, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw the blood against the sides of the altar. And from the sacrifice of the peace offering as a food offering to the Lord, he shall offer the fat covering the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins and the long lobe of the liver. And he shall remove with which and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering, which is on the wood on the fire. It is a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord is an animal from the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it in front of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. Then from the sacrifice of the peace offering, he shall offer as a food offering to the Lord its fat. He shall remove the whole fat tail, cut off close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. And the priest shall burn it on the altar as a food offering to the Lord. If his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and lay his hand on its head, and kill it in front of the tent of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. Then he shall offer it as an offering for a food offering to the Lord, the fat covering the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering with a pleasing aroma. All fat is the Lord's. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places that you eat neither fat nor blood. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord remains forever. Life is a journey, not a destination, as that popular phrase goes. We live in a culture that's all about the here and the now. You may have seen a bumper sticker or posted something about it's not about the journey, but rather it's not about the destination, but rather the journey. And what that's getting at is about living life in the present, living it here and now. It's not where you've been or where you're going. What's important is where you are right now. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Now, whoever said that, it's not about the destination, it's about their journey. Whoever said that obviously has never flown with kids on an airplane or had a lap child on a flight, because then it really is about the destination. When is it going to be over? When are we going to get there? You're not really enjoying the journey. And in light of that, what if the destination is in fact better than the journey? Arriving in Hawaii is much better than the 13-hour flight to get there. Or even the journey to the airport. Being in Hawaii is much better than the plane trip there or back. The destination is much better than the journey. You endure the journey in order to get to the destination. You go through all of the steps it takes to get to Hawaii because of that end goal. So far, as we've been looking at Leviticus, we've been going through steps of the journey. We've looked at the burnt offering first of all. Well, actually, we looked at the grain offering first, but let's take it in order. First is the burnt offering. The entire offering is burned, and that's for your atonement of sin. It's to deal with your sin. Next, you have the grain offering, which is your response of thanksgiving for that salvation. And now this morning we're looking at the peace offering and the meal that's connected with that. And just like when you're flying to Hawaii, you first drive to Omaha, and then you have a flight from Omaha to LA, and then from LA to Honolulu. In the same way, there are steps as we get to the ultimate goal of what these sacrifices are all about. It's not about each and every individual sacrifice in and of themselves. If we focus and separate them, then we miss the bigger picture, because they're building on each other. Gerhardus Voss explain that these sacrifices represent an ascending scale. They begin with the worst and they end with the height of religious blessing. Now, Gerhardus Voss was a big theologian, so height of religious blessing. Well, what in the world does that mean? What he's talking about is we're getting to the point of being in the presence of the Lord. Being worthy of being with God. That's the goal of all of these offerings. Sin separates, sin corrupts and destroys. Got to deal with sin in order to be with God. And keeping that ultimate destination in mind helps us to understand how each of these offerings are steps towards that ultimate goal, like driving to Omaha and then flying to LAX and then on to Honolulu. You have the burnt offering, you have the grain offering, you have the peace offering. We're getting closer, and finally we're going to hear those words, you've arrived at your destination. You're in paradise. You're now worthy of being in the presence of the Lord. Now, what is our passage this morning about? Well, if we were to summarize what's happening in chapter 3, we could say a people covered by the blood who are brought into the presence of God. A people covered by the blood who are brought into the presence of God. The fellowship, the peace we enjoy with the Lord because of Jesus Christ. And we see that this morning as we look at the Passover meal. Secondly, we'll be looking at the fellowship feast. And then finally, we'll wrap up with the Lord's Supper. And so first, the Passover meal. Now, last week, we looked at the burnt offering, the atonement, being acceptable to God, burning the entire thing. We're facing judgment because of sin. We're facing death because of sin. And the sacrifice that takes our place, the substitutionary atonement, that animal is dying in place of you. You're burning the entire thing, pleasing aroma before God. And what we noted there is that's what it takes. The atonement is acknowledging sin is necessary. The atonement for sin is necessary in order to third and finally be accepted by God, accepted into his presence. Now, in order to understand this peace offering, we need to go back further than Leviticus 1 with the burnt offering and go all the way back to the Passover, that first Passover celebration before the people were brought out of Egypt. Think back all the way to the Passover, putting the blood of the lamb on the door. You're covered by the blood of the lamb. The lamb died so that you wouldn't die. Let me read a little bit from Exodus 12. Tell the congregation of Israel on the 10th day of the month that each man should take a lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You can take it from the sheep or from the goats and keep it till the 14th day. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Verse 7, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh. So note that they're eating the lamb that was sacrificed. They eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until morning. So you're eating it that day. Anything that remains until the next day, you've got to burn. In this manner, you shall eat it with your belt fastened and your sandals on your feet. They're ready to go, staff in hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And here's what's going to happen. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all of the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. So God's judgment is coming. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So what is going on here? God is bringing his judgment. He is executing his judgment. Judgment is coming. Judgment for sin. And the way to have that judgment pass over you, pass by you, or a way to have that judgment propitiated, turned away from you, is to have this lamb who is killed in your place, to be covered by the blood of the lamb. The lamb dies so that you can live and escape that judgment that's coming. So what kind of sacrifice is that during the Passover then? You have this lamb that's slain, they're properly handling the blood, and then they have this meal together. Well, one, it's not a burnt offering, obviously, because we mentioned that last week. The burnt offering, you burn the entire thing. It's clearly not a grain offering because you're killing a lamb. What is being celebrated at Passover is a peace offering. A peace offering, the only sacrifice, the only offering here in Leviticus that includes a meal is the peace offering or the fellowship offering. The idea is that every peace offering was fellowship with God. The meal was the result of the peace and the blessedness that the people enjoyed. Remember the process. They've already had their sins atoned for and paid for by the burnt offering. The grain offering is there to show your thanks and your praise to the Lord. And now what? They're enjoying that peace, that fellowship with God. There's steps necessary to get to this point. You don't just appear in Hawaii. There are steps that need to be taken first. And that's exactly what's happened here in Leviticus. We finally gotten to the point of having fellowship with God. These sacrifices, especially this peace offering, they were repeated reminders of what happened in Egypt, of what the Lord did in Egypt. And they not only looked back at, here's what the Lord did for you. You were covered by the blood. He brought you out of Egypt into his presence. But they also anticipated and looked forward to something even greater. God brings Israel, his people, through blood sacrifice, an expiatory, wiping sin away, a propitiatory, appeasing, turning aside God's wrath, expiatory, propitiatory sacrifice. He brings them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, into his presence. A people covered by the blood of the Lamb are brought into the presence of God. Look at what Exodus 19 says. Well, Exodus 19 verse 4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." At Mount Sinai, I mentioned it earlier with the Ten Commandments, at Mount Sinai, that's the first recorded peace offering. Because his people were brought out of Egypt, delivered from that slavery, and now they had been brought into the presence of God. It's the climax of the Exodus event, being in the presence of God on Mount Sinai. And in light of that, they're celebrating this fellowship meal on a mountain in the presence of God. Now that sets the context for what's happening here with this fellowship meal, this fellowship offering, this peace offering. That brings us to our second point, the fellowship feast. Now next week is the Super Bowl. Now I know most of you probably won't be watching it, so just bear with me as I give you this illustration. During football games, you always have the instant replay. Great touchdown, and then they replay it again. Slow motion with comments on, wow, look at that, look how he did this, and wow, that was so amazing. Instant replay, again and again and again. These sacrifices are the instant replay of the great things that God has done. A people covered in blood who are brought into the presence of God, they're seeing again and again. Each time this sacrifice is taking place, they're being reminded of what it takes to be in God's presence. And they're seeing it again and again and again and again and again. The word here for peace offering is shalem. Now I know you guys all know the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. And so there you see the connection between peace offering, the shalem offering, and peace in general, shalom. Getting at the same idea. But this particular offering was given when a covenant is confirmed or reaffirmed. A relationship is reaffirmed. Fellowship is reaffirmed. With this peace offering, we are talking about peace between God and his people. There's no longer division, there's no longer separation, there's no longer conflict, but rather there is peace. And this peace is the result of the atonement that has been made. Now there is this restored relationship. Now there is this righteousness. Now there is fellowship. And peace. Expiation, I mentioned that earlier, the removal of our sins, wiping away our sins, is in order to draw us into relationship with God, closer to God, consecrated, set apart as God's holy people. With the burnt offering, you burnt up the entire thing. It was a pleasing aroma. It went up in order to accomplish that atonement, the forgiveness of sins. In order to be acceptable to God. That was the burnt offering. That gets us to this point. Now you have peace. Now you have fellowship with God. Last week I mentioned how with the burnt offering, obviously everything is burned. And, you know, what a waste that is. Why couldn't we just have some of that back? With the grain offering, only a memorial portion was given. Why couldn't some of the meat come back to the people? And yeah, well, obviously, the whole thing was burned because you're making atonement for your sin. But the difference between the burnt offering and this peace offering is exactly that. You don't burn the entire animal. You just offer up the best parts of the animal to the Lord. And what are the best parts of the animal? You all know the answer to that question. What do you order when you go to the steakhouse? What are the best parts of the animal? The fat, the liver, and the kidneys. Yes, I'll have some kidneys medium rare with a side of fat. Obviously, our tastes have changed just a little bit. But for ancient Israel, the filet mignon was the fat, the liver, and the kidneys. They're giving the best part of the animal to the Lord. But it doesn't end there, because you're offering the first and the best, and that's a theme that we're going to see throughout Leviticus, giving our first and our best to the Lord. But here, it also goes on, because the rest of the offering that has been given to the Lord is given back to them and the priests as a meal for them to enjoy together. We don't have it specifically mentioned in chapter 3, but chapter 7 of Leviticus highlights how this peace offering meal takes place. What goes to the priests here and there? You have this offering becoming a meal, a peace meal, a fellowship meal, a feast. It's concluded by the worshiper gathering his friends and his family together to eat the rest of this meat. And according to Leviticus 7, you had to eat it all that day. If you had no leftovers, if there's any leftovers, you burn it up on the altar. Leviticus 7 points that out. I mean, except if it's a free will offering or a vow offering, and then you've got 2 days to eat it, and then you got to burn the leftovers. But the point is, they are giving to the Lord this peace offering, highlighting the fellowship relationship between them and God, and part of that is God giving back to them. And as they're celebrating this peace with a meal, it's highlighting the blessings that they have with God. Leviticus 7, verse 31, the priest shall burn the fat on the altar. So there you have the best part being burned on the altar. But the breast shall be for Aaron and his sons. So a part of the meat goes to the priest. The right thigh you shall give to the priest as a contribution for the sacrifice of your peace offerings. Whoever among the sons of Aaron offers the blood, so whoever deals with the blood and throws it on the altar, and the fat shall the right thigh, that's their portion. Now, we mentioned last week how meat was such a luxury for ancient Israel. All the meat came from animals that were given by the worshiper to God. And now God is giving a part back to them. And as they enjoy eating this meat, it's a physical reminder of the blessing that is theirs with the Lord, the relationship that they now have with the Lord, the peace that they enjoy with the Lord. This is an offering that the people would look forward to, anticipate, get excited about. Kind of like, hey, next week's the fellowship meal. Tell your friends, bring them over. We're having a fellowship meal. Susan or URC kind of thing. Or we're looking forward to Thanksgiving, getting everyone together. Not only the food, but spending that time, that fellowship together. Fellowship, the word here for peace offering is often translated also as fellowship. That's why I keep on switching back and forth. ESVs, it's a peace offering. Other translations will translate it as a fellowship offering. But the heart of it is the same. Because we have peace with God, we are now in relationship with God. We now have peace and fellowship with God. And that's what this offering is celebrating. What does that mean for us today? How do we today enjoy the relationship we have with the Lord? How do we celebrate the peace that is ours through Christ? Some of you might be thinking, well, let's have a barbecue. I think that's a great idea if someone's bringing the beef. You're celebrating it with a meal, but think about the significance of that as well. A meal, a feast, a supper is a fitting way to celebrate the atonement and the peace that is ours in Christ. And that brings us to our third and our final point, the Lord's Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus referred to the cup of wine as the new covenant in my blood, 1 Corinthians 11. And when he did that, he was referring to the blood of the old covenant, Old Testament. Exodus 24, verse 8, we're back on Mount Sinai here. And the people have just agreed to the covenant that the Lord had given, the commandments, the covenant that Moses took, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And Moses collected all of the blood, and he splashed some of it on the altar as is fitting, but the rest of the blood he splashed over the people, and he said, "Here is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you." Now, I know for us, the idea of us being splashed with animal blood, that's just completely foreign and maybe a little gross. But the symbolism is there. They are being covered by the blood. What does it take to be in relationship with God? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And now Jesus Christ, all of these years later, is taking that glass of wine, celebrating that Passover meal and turning it into the Lord's Supper. This is my blood of the new covenant. And there, all of the symbolism and all the foreshadowing that we have throughout Scripture is coming to its fullest expression in Jesus Christ, saying, this is the blood that you need to be covered with in order to come into the presence of the Lord, in order to be accepted by God. In the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating a meal which is a reminder. You could say that it's an instant replay. The Lord's Supper is the instant replay of the peace and the fellowship that we have with God because of Christ's sacrifice. We celebrate it again and again and again and again and again as a reminder of what God has done, a celebration of the peace and the fellowship that is ours because of Christ, the atoning sacrifice. Notice the similarities between the peace offering, or this fellowship feast, and the Lord's Supper, how one points to the next. You have to be clean in order to participate in the peace offering. According to Deuteronomy 12, all those who are clean may eat the flesh, but the person who eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offering, while an uncleanness is on him, that person shall be cut off. So there you see, if you're going to come to this peace offering fellowship meal, you need to be clean. If not, you're going to be cut off. There's consequences for not being prepared for this offering. Same way, 1 Corinthians 11, the same is true for the Lord's Supper. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. And here's the consequence. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment onto himself. We're enjoying this meal in the presence of the Lord. People are able to be in the presence of the Lord. Their sin has been atoned for. Instead of eating meat that was sacrificed, today we are eating the bread and the wine, which points to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is my body. This is my blood given to you for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. In a similar way, it's a reminder of the atonement, the wiping away of sins, expiation, the turning away of God's wrath, propitiation. That is ours, the salvation that is ours because of Christ. Probably one of the greatest features that stands out about the peace, all of these offerings, is all of the blood. It said it again and again and again, the blood. Leviticus seems to be all about the blood. Even in the peace offering, the priests are still collecting the blood and throwing it on the sides of the altar. We're constantly reminded again and again and again of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, to accomplish atonement, to pay the price, to wipe away, to satisfy God's wrath, to save. And that's why we're able to come into God's presence, to enjoy fellowship with Him, peace with Him, enjoy a meal with Him. Because in Christ we have peace. A people covered by blood, by the blood, who are brought into the presence of God. And just like the Passover and the peace offering pointed forward to the Lord's Supper, there's one more meal as we wrap up this morning. One more meal celebrating a people covered by the blood brought into the presence of the Lord. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the church, has made herself ready. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What happens next? What are we looking forward to and anticipating as the church, as the bride of Christ, as his people covered by the blood of the Lamb? We're looking forward to entering into God's presence and dining at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We, who are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, are brought into the presence of God to enjoy a peace and a fellowship with God that will never end. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the joy and the privilege that is ours because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That not only now, because of his blood, we can enter into fellowship with you, that we have peace with you, but Lord, we can also anticipate and look forward to the day when we can celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. When the bride, the church, is able to come because Jesus Christ has come. And that's ultimately our prayer, Lord. We want to live lives faithfully here and now for your honor and glory and serving you. But at the same time, we pray, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly so that we can enjoy this meal we've been waiting for. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.